This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
I don't always watch a lot of television, especially during this time of the year, the summertime, there's nothing going on. I really start to tune in when I'm ready to watch J.J. Watt and our defense smash people in the mouth. That's very therapeutic for me, and I enjoy that. But I have to admit, I love the Olympics. And I have really, I used to do some of the Olympic events, not on an Olympic level, but I did some of the, I swam competitively, I ran track, I played basketball. So I just love the Olympics. I always get captivated in it. And I get captivated by the human interest stories, the drama that takes place. And I was watching the other night, or just catching the highlights, and saw a young man, and I forgot which country he's from. It wasn't the one from France, it was another one. And he was in the blocks, and he jumped the gun. And track and field now, they have a rule, it's called the one and done rule. You false start, you're immediately disqualified. All that training, years of working hard, sacrifice, he flinched and jumps the gun, and he was disqualified. He knew he was too. And he just had his head in his hands, and he walked over to the side. He just leaned over on the side of the track and just wept. And I felt for him, man. I'm like, oh. Because all of us at some point in time have had a low time in our life. When I say mean a low time, I mean just, you're just low emotionally, spiritually, sometimes physically. It's just a low time. And I wish I could tell you that if you become a Christian that you'll never have any more low times, but I'm sorry, it's just part of the human experience. And so it's, no one's immune. I mean, we all have to deal with loss. Sometimes we deal with the loss of a loved one, and that can range. Really, loss can go from unexpected loss of a loved one to lostness of a favorite possession. Every stop in between. I had one lady that was telling me about how she was so sad because her little dog had died, and I'm like, I'm a dog person. I'm like, I got that. I know how you feel. Cat people, I have no understanding of what's going on. Now, don't write me nasty letters if you lose your cat. I know that's important. Although when Joy's bird dies, I'm going to have to fake it like I'm sad. Because she's got some dove that we've had forever, and it just won't die. And so it's like, oh, please. One step above a fish is a bad pet. And so loss affects us. How about disappointment and discouragement? You thought things were going to work out a certain way. They didn't. And oftentimes, people just get discouraged and disappointed. A lady was walking on the beach in California. She was lost in her thoughts and just kind of kicking up the sand. And she kicked over something. It looked like a bottle. And when she picked it up, it looked like an ancient bottle. It actually had a cork in it. She pulled the cork out, and a genie shows up. Genie said, "Thank you for letting me out. I've been stuck in this bottle for years. And for letting me out, you get one wish." She said, oh, she said, you know, I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. She said, but I'm deathly afraid of flying. She said, so if you could just build me a highway from California to Hawaii. And the genie looked at her and said, come on, lady. I said, that's 2,500 miles across open water, a highway to Hawaii. Can you come up with something just like a little bit more realistic? And she said, well, she said, my husband and three kids, she said, nobody helps me around the house. So I walk in, there's stuff lying there. No one picks up after themselves. There are dishes in the sink. No one can put anything in the dishwasher. The garbage needs to be taken out. No one can do anything without me having to ask them first. So here's what I'd like. I would just like for my husband and kids to help me around the house. That's all I wish for. Jenny looked at her and said, that highway, did you want that 2 lanes or 4 lanes? People get disappointed. People get discouraged. And I'm not even going to bring up people problems. But unless you're a hermit, there's always something that we're dealing with people. Maybe it's kids. Maybe it's grandkids. Maybe it's the in-laws. Maybe it's the ex-in-laws. There's always people things going on. And oftentimes, those can cause us to hit a real low. But the good news is this. God can help us in low times. Now, there's a wonderful psalm. In Psalms 145, it's a psalm that talks about the grandeur of God and the goodness of God and God's mighty works. But then look what it says. The Lord helps the fallen, and He lifts those bent beneath their loads. Isn't that great? We've got a God who's big enough to do all these marvelous things and the creator of the universe, and yet when someone is fallen, when someone's down, when someone's low, he doesn't squash them even further. He lifts them and helps those who are just bent over by the burdens of life. God can help us do that. But the key is we have to understand his character and his nature, that he's not disappointed with you when you're down. He's not angry with you. He's not repulsed by your weakness. But he actually cares. And the more we understand about that, the easier it is for us to begin to receive all that he has for us and to receive his help during the low times in our life. I read a story about an author who said when he was in the sixth grade, his dad took him to Kmart and stood outside the Kmart. He had evidently done something really great in his family. And his dad wanted to congratulate him. His dad waved his hand over the Kmart. He said, "I will buy you anything in this Kmart, any one item." So this little boy walked in. He's sixth grade. He said he didn't understand money and he didn't understand his dad's capacity. So he bought a cassette tape holder. Now, for those of you who have no idea what cassette tapes are, they were these little things that you used to stick in your car. Dad, they played music. Yeah, ask your parents. And it was pretty cheap, like a $50 thing. And he said it was great for him, but he passed over the bikes, he passed over the stereo equipment, he passed over all this stuff. He said years later, his dad told him that when he walked into that Kmart that night, he had $1,000 in his pocket and a checkbook just in case he picked something over that. He said, "I did not realize my dad's generosity. I did not realize my dad's capacity." He said, "And I limited my father." Oh, how much we have limited our father, where we don't think we can go to him unless it's just huge and he won't help us with the little things. No, we've got a God who has an unlimited checkbook and unlimited resources. And when you need help, you can go to him. And if you're low, he can help you rise up. He doesn't crush the fallen. He lifts the fallen. And all we need to learn to do is just, how do we connect with him? How do we make that connection that enables us to come out of a low time? How do we get help in a low time? Well, I want to give you a story from a guy in the Bible who came out of a very difficult time, but he came out. His name is David. And David had a group of men. He was a fugitive. He was running from Saul, so he's always on the run. He had a band of about 600 men and their families with him. And he went off to fight with his men. When he came back, tragedy had struck his camp. And we'll read the story here. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at the town of Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag, and they had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everything else without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. And David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. And David now was in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord his God. This is one of my favorite stories. I've always loved this story because this is really the story of someone who gets help in a low time, someone who bounces back. And if David could do it, we can do it. But it's a good story because it tells us this. Even the strongest among us have low times. I know sometimes you look around and think, you know, no one ever goes through hard times. No one ever has a bad time. You may look sometimes up here and go, "Pastor Allen never has hard times. He never has any hard times." Or at least, well, I know Joy does because she's married to him. But no, they don't have hard times. And yet we realize that even the strongest among us have hard times. David was a warrior. He was a fighter. He's a guy that killed bears and giants and lions and anything else that came across his path. This guy was tough. He was a fighter. He was a leader. And he had pushed past a lot of pain in his life. His family didn't think a whole lot of him. He pushed past that. The king was trying to kill him. He pushed past that. He was constantly on the run for his life. He couldn't call any place home. And so this was a guy that was strong. He was tough. But even during this time, when he lost his family and his possessions, it really hit him. And the Bible said he wept until he couldn't weep anymore. Boy, you just cried yourself out. And David was down. But the Bible said that David found strength in the Lord his God. David was helped by God. He came out of that downtime. They say, well, sometimes we expect help to be, well, David went and prayed, and when he came back out of his tent, the whole town was miraculously restored and everyone's back. Oftentimes, that's what people think of when they think of help, but that's not how the help came. It came in the form of strength. You see, strength will give you the ability to come against a negative force in a positive way. When you have strength, it's not like everything gets perfect, but you've got the resources that it takes to deal with it. And David found strength. He got alone with God. And somehow, we don't know everything David did, but here's what I suspect. I suspect that David praised God because he had that habit in his life. David was a praiser. He was always someone that was worshiping God, writing psalms, singing to the Lord. He didn't have like KSBJ. He just sang his own songs. But he was always worshiping God. Have you ever noticed how that can just kind of lift you? If you get a real positive song, you can sing it. I'm sure David was alone there in the tent. He probably began to remind himself of how God had helped him in the past and how good God was. And I'm sure David probably began to do something like, Lord, I thank you that when that lion came against me, when that bear came against me, Lord, you were there. And when the Goliath was so big and no one would take him on, Lord, you strengthened me. And God, you have protected me and you have helped me out of every tough spot and you will help me out of this tough spot. Lord, you're good and I know you're good. We know David got to a strong place instead of blaming God. We know he wasn't doing that. You say, well, how do you know he wasn't blaming God? Because it would have been easy to blame God. It would have been easy for David to look at the Lord and go, I tell you what, I didn't want to be king. I don't know why you anointed me to be king. I was happy just watching sheep, but here I am a king. I got this ragtag group of people. I don't know why I have this group of people. And I got Saul that's mad at me. And so now both of my wives were gone and I want at least one of them back. And I've got problems here, Lord. He said, Alan, how do you know he wasn't blaming God? Because you can't blame God and get stronger. When you're in a blaming mode, you're not in the receiving mode. When we need help and we need strength, we can't be blaming. We need to be taken in. Lord, thank you because your joy is my strength. And David was able to make that adjustment. We know David got stronger because he was able to move forward. You always know when you're getting stronger when you're able to get up and start making progress again. Look at how he prayed. David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. So David, his 600 men set out and they came to the brook Besor. Now, I like that. That's an aggressive prayer. That's not a why God prayer. That's a Lord, you want me to go after them? Will you like me to go run this group down? I will whoop them when I find them. Lord, do you want me to go after them? You can just see that. And the Lord gave him help. He gave him a strategy. He gave him a plan. He gave him a word. And this is what his word was. Yes, you go after them, for you will, one translation said, without fail, recover everything. And that's all David needed. And he and his men set out. A number of years ago, when I was back in my hometown, we tried to start a church. It didn't work. And we were working our way back to Texas. We were just getting ready. We'd made the decision. We'd already rented the truck. And just a couple of days before we were supposed to leave, there was a meeting in the church. And I knew who the speaker was. He was a guest speaker. I went in there and sat in the meeting. Joy was still packing some stuff up. I'm sitting there. And after the meeting, the guy looked at me toward the end of the meeting. He looked at me and said, do I know you? And I went, nah. He said, I just keep having this word for you. Go back and without fail, you will recover all. I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's all I needed to know. Because we had lost it all going there, but when we came back, God enabled us to recover all, and not just all, actually wind up better than we were before we left. Now, here's the beautiful thing. You know, when God helps us, guys, he helps us big time. When David went out with his men, they crossed over the brook. They just happened to find this guy wandering through the fields who happened to know exactly where the enemy was. They found the enemy. They beat up on the enemy all day. 400 men escaped, which means they killed a whole lot more than that. They were outnumbered, but not only did they get their wives and their kids back, they got their stuff back, and they got the stuff that the enemy had taken from other people. They recovered more than they had. When God helps you, he helps you, and you can recover more. And if you're thinking today going, my life can never recover, I can never get there, we got a God who's bigger than that, and he can help you get back. So you say, well, how do we do that? How do I begin to get help from the Lord? Got some things that'll help you today. Now, this first one is real important, so don't miss this one. When you're low, don't go. And they say, oh, here he goes again. He's making his little silly rhymes. Yeah, I know, but you don't forget them. When you're low, don't go. What do I mean by that? Well, look at this. David's men loved David. David had taken a ragtag group of people who were in debt. They were distressed. They were all burnt out. They'd been unsuccessful in life. And they started following David as a fugitive. And David and God helped this group of ragtag men become a group of winners. And they won battles and they won fights and they got more stuff than they ever had. And God had blessed them through David. They loved David. They would do anything for David. But when they were bitter, they talked about killing David. So what's the deal? When you're low, don't go. A lot of bad decisions are made at low times. When people are feeling low spiritually and emotionally, when they're feeling low physically, when you're low, don't go. I've seen relationships end. I've seen relationships that should have never started start. See people quit school, quit jobs, drop out of church, all because they had reached a low time. When you're at a low time, that's not the time to make decisions. That's not the time to do anything. You need to focus on getting to a better place. Around the ark, occasionally we have emails that come in. Some of them aren't nice. We really don't have a lot of them. I mean, we have a bunch of gracious people, but every now and then somebody will send me one that's just nasty. And I get it, and my first response is not, oh, praise God. My first response is, oh yeah, I'm gonna write you an email back. You know you're in trouble when you're pounding those keys, baby. I was like, I'm writing you an email back. But I've learned over the years, you learn a few things. I've learned to actually let Joy or let my administrative assistant, Wilma, read the email first. And I've given it to Wilma and go, Wilma, what do you think? Wilma's very quiet. Wilma goes, in other words, that look says, I would not send that. So here's what I've learned to do. Wait 24 hours before I send an email. Have you ever written an email and then gone back and read it the next day? You're like, oh, that's not pastoral at all. That's questionable whether or not it's even Christian. That's not even good at all. And so I've learned not to send emails. Why? When you're not in a good place, don't respond. When you're at a low place, don't make big decisions. Focus on getting back to a better place. You say, well, how do I get back to a better place? Learn to receive help from the Lord. And here's one of the best ways He sends help. He often sends it through other people. The Apostle Paul is one of the greatest Christians known to man. He was awesome. I can't wait to meet him when I get to heaven. And Paul wrote this about being in a low place. He was going through a lot of pressure, and he writes this. But God, who encourages those who were discouraged, encouraged us by the arrival of Titus. Paul, the marvelous apostle, the strong Christian, had been going through a lot of conflicts and things going on. And he said, man, we were discouraged, but God, who encourages the discouraged, encouraged us because He sent us some help. And when help comes your way, when God sends somebody to you, so God has never sent anybody to me. Hello, I'm here today. I'm here talking to you. You're here. This is a message for you. And you can be encouraged because God's trying to help you. Going back to the Olympics, one of the best human interest stories that came out of the Olympics was the story of a middle distance runner named Abby D'Agostino. And Abby fell. She was tripped by a girl from New Zealand called Nikki Hamblin. It wasn't Nikki's fault. Nikki fell. Abby fell on top of her, but what happened has become one of the key stories of the Olympics. Because when Abby got up, she didn't keep running. She actually helped up the girl who tripped her. Here's her interview.
Was this just, I mean, I think most people's instinct after colliding with another runner would be get up, get back in the race, and it seemed your instinct was to turn around and lend a helping hand. Where does that come from?
You know, that's a good question. I've been asked that quite a bit in the last few days. And the thing about that moment was that everything happened so fast. And it's just kind of, all I know is that I got up and my first instinct was like, okay, turn around, we got to finish this. And I don't think that was me. I think there was I mean, I think that was literally like the spirit of God in me, like, let's go. Like, this is, it wasn't, because my ACL is torn. Like,
yeah.
That's not supposed to happen.
And wow.
Yeah, exactly. So.
And then to return the favor too, I mean, I think that's what's interesting. You guys had not met before this moment, right?
No.
So you guys helped each other out. What did you say afterwards? Because it was a beautiful embrace after.
Yeah. I mean, we just thanked each other. I think we were both just speechless at you know, the fact that we were able to share a moment like that, and we both realized that it was about so much more than our performance that day.
Man, I love that story. And it gets better. Because when we look at it, what they find is, and I'm going to show you just another clip, you can't hear what the girl from New Zealand is saying, but she says, as Christians, we would not have changed a thing. So a girl who fell was a Christian, the girl who helped her up was a Christian, and the whole world got to witness people filled with the Spirit of God doing something good for someone else. It's been one of the best stories. Here's a real quick clip of that.
You know, as someone asked us a question earlier, like whether we would change it, and both of us said that we wouldn't change it. We wouldn't change going down because of something so much bigger and so much stronger and so much more powerful as if she come out of what happened as opposed to a result on a school board.
Have you ruptured your ACL?
Yes.
How did you run
from
4 weeks on a ruptured ACL?
That's a question of the day. I'm not sure. I mean, all I know is that I was praying my way through the finish. And it was crazy because I knew my leg just wasn't right. But I knew God was able and I wasn't. So that's how I came through. And I'm just thankful to have been a witness to that kind of power that just wasn't my own.
Isn't that a great story? I love that. She busted up. She tore up her ACL in her knee. And for those of you who know, man, that's a painful thing. They said, how did you run 4 laps on that? She ran 4 more laps and finished that race. She said, I wasn't able, but God is able. He can help you, and He will not. I love something that Nikki Hamlin said. She said, I will never, ever forget lying on the track and feeling an arm or a hand on my shoulder. And hearing, get up, we've got to finish. And the greatest story of the Olympics, one of the greatest human interest story, came from a girl who was filled with the Spirit of God, who wouldn't leave a friend fallen on the track. Can God send people to help you? Yeah, He can. And then also one of the things we can learn to do is we can learn to encourage ourselves and the Lord. And that's a great place to learn. Maybe you're not there yet. Say, Alan, I don't understand that, but that's okay. As you walk with Him, you can learn that even when you're all by yourself and there's no one around to encourage you, if God's there, He's enough. And in Psalms, again, the psalmist said, I cried out. On the day when I cried out, you answered me, and you made me bold with strength in my soul. See, God can get us to a place on the inside where we're ready to handle the things that are on the outside. If you're going to receive help from the Lord, one of the key things is realizing that God can help you receive the strength to move forward. But the way to do that is you have to realize that you're not by yourself. You're never alone. You may be alone in your walk, but you're not alone because He's with you. And David, who had one of the best relationships with God, had a walk with God. He had an everyday walk with God. This is what David said when he talked about his relationship with the Lord. He said, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I'll not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. In the 1800s in America, they didn't have internet, they didn't have television, didn't have the entertainment that we have today. And so often you would see roving groups of actors who would go from city to city, and they would perform in the theaters, and people would flock to see them. These were great speakers, they had big booming voices because there was no amplification. One day in a small, dusty Midwestern town, a group performed and the people just roared their approval, and they realized they had some time at the end of the show. And so one of the actors stood up and said, does anyone have any requests? And an older man stood up. He said, could you recite the 23rd Psalm? And the actor said, I'll do that. He said, if you promise that you'll recite it after me. The old man was puzzled, but he agreed. And the actor, who had a booming voice, stood and began to recite the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He knew every trick of the trade. He knew all the voice inflections. He knew when to raise his voice and when to lower his voice. And he went through all the verses. And at the end, when he finished, there was just a rousing ovation from the people who loved his rendition. Then the older man came forward. He kind of shuffled down to the front. You could tell he'd seen some life, had a weathered face, and were wearing clothes that were clean but worn. And when he stood up, his voice wasn't as cultured. But when he began to speak, there was a power to it. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." He said, "I remember a time when we had a drought here. And we didn't know if we were going to make it, but he's my shepherd. And we made it through that." He said, "He leads me beside the still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures." And he went through, and every time he would go through, he would have to stop and talk about how God had done something for him and God had meant something to his life. He said, "Even though I walked through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "I went through a time where I almost lost my wife, and we walked through the valley, but the Lord was with me and he helped me." And as he continued to do that psalm, every time he just couldn't stop but talking about, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When he finished, there was no applause. There was nothing but the wiping away of tears as people pulled out handkerchiefs and were wiping tears from their faces. And they asked the actor, they said, "Why did you get such an ovation?" But he brought them to tears. Actor said, "That's easy." He said, "I know the 23rd Psalm. He knows the shepherd." You see, when you know the shepherd, when you know who God is, when you begin to recognize he will never leave you or forsake you, when you recognize he is not a one and done God, he's not going to disqualify you if you jump the gun. He gives you time after time. His mercies are new every morning. He's not a God that will leave you falling on the track. He's a God that reaches out a hand and says, "Get up, we got to finish." He's that kind of God. And when you realize that, it's easy to get help from him. If you're here today and you say, "Man, I've been at a down time, a low time in my life," well, my prayer is that you can recognize that this is the hand on your shoulder. This is the voice saying, "Get up, we got to finish." Would you bow your heads with me, please? I'm going to ask, please, no one leave, or we'll be out of here in just a couple of minutes. But if you came and said, I need that relationship with the shepherd, I need a relationship with God, never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of my life. I believe he died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. I've never made him my Savior. Or maybe you've done that and you realize I've gotten so far away from him, and this morning I need to come back. We're going to say a very powerful prayer. We're not going to ask that you stand up or come to the front, but this is for you. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. That's you that I'm talking to. You say, "Alan, would you guys pray for me? I want a relationship with God, or I want to be back in relationship with God, and I'd like your prayers." Would you slip up your hand across this auditorium? We're not going to call you out. We're not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I've seen hands go up all over. I can't always see in the back. Thanks. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. If you think you lost your opportunity, you didn't. God sees hearts, but he sees hands. He sees both. So in your heart, you can pray this, and we'll lead you with it. We're going to ask the whole church family just to join in. Say, "Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you." Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer today. For those that prayed that prayer to come back to you, for those that prayed that prayer to receive you, I thank you, Father, they have stepped out of darkness into light and back into fellowship. What a wonderful place to be. Thank you for helping them. And Father, for all of us here today, those who are going through a low time, those who feel like maybe they've been falling on the track, thank you that you lift them, you encourage them, and you're there for them. You're that kind of God. And we appreciate that today. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.